Well, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
And those online. It's the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
You're right. And it is a good day. Praise God. It's always a privilege to speak God's word. I want to speak to you today on spiritual nurture, spiritual food. You know, that was Jesus' main concern for me and you. Not so much our physical concern, but our spiritual concern. It's what brought him from heaven to earth, Rock. Let's go to God's word here and see what God has to say about it. In Mark 6:34. It says, Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. See, Jesus' heart was moved with compassion when he saw you and I like sheep without a shepherd, didn't he? Now, one thing I know about sheep, if they don't have a shepherd, they go all over the place. They will wander aimlessly over mountains, cliffs, dales, roads, even pavements. They just don't see danger. I've had a few run-ins with some of these woolly dudes over the years, I can tell you. Especially up the bulk. It tells us in Isaiah 53:6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Astray here means, well, it implies vulnerability, lack of direction, a tendency to get in trouble. John 10:11 tells us, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, each one to his own way. Isn't it amazing when Jesus uses nature and uses his creation to compare us with sheep? He didn't call us goats, did he? No. He doesn't call us cattle or horses. No. He calls us sheep. Sheep. Tell somebody who's sitting next to you, you're a sheep. You're a sheep. Meh. Pa boy. I want to suggest that the Lord's heart and the human distress of you and I is the main reason why Jesus came from heaven to earth. I'm also well aware that there is a tremendous physical need in the world today. People are hungry. There are people that are homeless. People are destitute. People are sick. And yes, people are dying. But I believe there's a greater need in the world today, as we are now, than physical requirements, and that is spiritual requirements. People are needing spiritual food, and the only way, and the only people that are going to help them get it, is us, you and I, and you people online here. We really need to get alongside these people out there. Matthew 5:14-16 says, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Jesus calls us the light of the world and charges us to illuminate the paths of others with his light radiating through us, you and me. When they, the lost sheep, his sheep, are walking in dark, dangerous and a daunting road. Also, for those who don't yet know the hope Jesus offers, share in his light, and through the way we live, we can point them towards God as the source of all hope. You know, to give people food to eat is a tremendous, worthwhile thing to do. Yes, of course it is. But to give them spiritual food is what gives them eternal life. Eternal life. Look. I cannot emphasize this vital fact enough. There is a spiritual hunger out there in the world today. God's book says very clearly in Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It's spiritual peace, his purpose for living, is what people want. I want to share very briefly here of a homeless person that I met whilst I was working with the homeless a few years ago, who felt that they had nothing to live for anymore. No home, no family, no dignity. After listening to this person, I could see that they felt that they really didn't have anything to live for. Nothing at all. After what they had endured in their life. It's so sad. The same person came to me one night shift and showed me the 23rd Psalm. Wow, I thought, where did he get it from? I don't know where they had this lovely scripture of God's word from, but it don't matter. What did matter, that this person had gotten a hold of God's word. They asked me to tell them more of Jesus, or they didn't understand. And they didn't want anybody in the centre knowing their feelings. Now they had food, and they had clothes given to them by my colleagues and myself in the centre. But like so many other people, they were looking for a vision. They feel they don't have a reason to live. They want something that they can get their teeth into. Something that they can work towards. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Now, what does that mean? Well, I think it means if you aim at nothing, look, you're sure to hit it. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it. That's what it means. It means if you don't have a game plan, if you don't have a reason to live, then you just give up, man. Cast off restraint, eh? People need a vision. They need a goal. They need something to get up in the morning for. In essence, they need Jesus. He is the answer to everything. You know, that's the same for us, yeah? But we have a vision, don't we? And our vision is Jesus. He put a call on your lives, did he not? He put a call on my life 30 years ago. Not because I'm the sharpest tool in the shed, that's for sure. Oh no. No, no, no. And not because I'm well educated, far from that. Certainly not. And it's certainly not because I'm not a youngster. Oh no, sorry, Bob Dixie. I'm no youngster. And it's certainly not because I do and say all the right things. It's because I got a message to proclaim to the world. And he tells us in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto Jesus, and he'll take care of your burdens. It's simple. Cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. People need to feel safe. They need to feel good. They need to feel that they have value. They need to feel needed. Now, my sisters and brothers here today, these needs are key in all people's lives, including us here and online. People need Jesus. They might not know it, but it's up to us to tell them and keep on telling them again and again and again and again. It's Christ we preach and him crucified. I want to suggest to you today it's a spiritual hunger, a malnutrition that this world is suffering from at this moment. And I don't know if I've told you what the definition of evangelism is. Well, there's one hungry person showing another hungry person where to find bread. It's simple. It's simple as that. There's no more to it. We need to tell people exactly what Jesus Christ means to us. Now that is what preaching is all about. There's nothing more to it than it. We can go to university. We can come out with more letters after our names than we can count. More letters than the Japanese alphabet, and they got 4 alphabets. Didn't know what to do. No. We can have the title of Doctor of Divinity, Doctor of this, Doctor of that, and Doctor who, and whoever. I tell you this, it doesn't matter one iota. Not a one. Because I know, I tell you what, you know what? If we haven't met the man from Galilee, if we haven't met the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, if we do not know him, I'm sorry, but we're just wasting our time. It's just another history lesson, man. Period. In John 21:15-18, Jesus commands Peter to feed my sheep 3 times. Reinforcing his commission to lead and care for and nurture the early Christian church. Jesus restores Peter after his 3 denials and establishes his role as pastoral leader for believers. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love him. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Verse 16, and he said a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love him. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the 3rd time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the 3rd time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Verse 18, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, You girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, you would stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you to where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Excuse me a moment. And what are yours? What Jesus was talking about here, he's talking about spiritual food. Spiritual food. And yes, I'll say again, physical food is important to our bodies. But we need to be looking at our heart's protection as well. See, gloves protect our hands. Shoes are not on our feet just to look nice. They protect our feet. Safety goggles protect the eyes, don't they? Hats keep our heads warm and dry. Hard hats keep us safe. But what protects our hearts? Now, our hearts are where spiritual decisions are made. The heart remains unprotected when we don't know what rules to follow. We can suffer a broken heart because of a wrong decision. We can even get into a wrong relationship and get mega hurt here. Accurate spiritual decisions cannot be made when we have no idea what God has to say about important life issues. We really do need to feed on spiritual food daily. Answer. I was reading Psalm 92, 1 and 2, where it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." The power of declaration. To declare his faithfulness and his steadfast love. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. We sing a hymn here in Emmanuel. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and I worship him alone. The integrity of our heart and the decisions it makes will always, always be based on our willingness to consult God's word. And obey it. We really need to start telling people the message of hope. Our hope is in God. It's not in our possessions. It's not in our health. It's not even in our family. It's in God. Because at the end of the day, that's all we got, man. That's all we got. Because the day we go home to heaven, it'll be just him and us. Nothing else remains here. God and us.
very quickly.
Let me tell people that they're not on this. Let us tell people that they're not on this earth forever. Because this life as we know it is so, so short. That eternal life is forever. We need to start preparing for home time by telling people that their life can begin right here and now by communicating with Jesus, to read the Bible, and then God's word will become a compass in their lives. Luke 1:37 says, there is nothing impossible for God. Absolutely nothing. I want to say to you here that there are many bankrupt people in the world today. Some of them, and a lot of them, got lots of money. And they got lots of food to eat. And they got oodles of possessions. But nothing else. Nothing. Zilch. They got nothing. I want to say to you all today, those online, that unless Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you will never, ever be satisfied. Never. See, when the Lord comes, becomes the focal point in our lives, things start happening. We have to have priority in our lives. When Jesus left heaven, as I said earlier, he came down to earth because he saw sheep without a shepherd. And if you look at the scripture verse that I read earlier, it says he was filled with compassion for them, because they are like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to feed them. No, we don't say that. He began to give them clothes to wear. No, I don't say that either. He began to teach them many things. This life, look, is but a vapor. We are going home to heaven to be with Jesus forever and ever and some to eternity. There are lost sheep out there in the world. I know. I was one of them. Not nice. I have talked to a lot of people, and they have told me that they have messed up in their lives. Big time. They've had major marriage problems, and that the children don't want to speak to them anymore. And they feel that they are no hopers. Well, I told them there is hope, and you are not no hopers. That there is a future for them. Because there is a thing called reconciliation. Reconciliation. But you've got to reconcile yourself with God first. And once that happens, then you have to reconcile yourself with man. If we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us, that's you and me, to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry of reconciliation. Wow! We got it. Given to us. Free. Wow. First, it's between us and God. Then between us and our fellow man. See, there's the cross. You and God, yeah? Us and God and our fellow man. There's the cross. Now that's the reason why we are here, and nothing else. And when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's in Matthew 6:33, then all these other things are added unto you. We are called to a ministry of reconciliation. Now catch this. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading for us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. There it is. This is our sole objective. Jesus came down from heaven because he had compassion on our spiritual bankruptcy. Sheep without a leader, they're doomed. If one sheep heads off to the edge of a cliff, the flock will follow, and a whole shambang of them will go straight over the top. No mercy. Be gone. Nothing do that. Lord looked at us as sheep without a shepherd. Now he didn't say to his father, I'm just going down to earth to show these people how to make money. No. Or I'm going down to feed them physically. No. I'm going to teach them things, spiritual things, because there's no hope for them outside of the cross of Jesus Christ. No. That's pretty hard stuff. I want to suggest to you, and I am coming to a close. Well, I suggest to you, like we have got so many things going on in society now, you can just press a button and it all happens. It's just done. It's amazing. It's incredible. I talked to a friend of mine now in South Africa last week. Well, there he is. I thought, it's amazing. Showed me outside his house and what he was doing right there. Amazing. It's incredible. But you know something? When it comes to the things of eternal life, when it comes to the peace of God that passes all understanding, when it comes to a purpose for existence, people are searching. Young people are searching. People need love. People need to be loved. Now, God is love, the Bible says. He that has no love knows not God. But God is love. We need to start to love one another. Not preach to one another. Just love one another. Accept one another. Encourage one another. I love speaking to young people. Young people, to me, they got soft hearts. Young people are going to be here when us oldies have gone home. End of. There's no two ways about it. But they need to be reconciled to God. It's not going to be through preaching. It's going to be through lifestyle. It's going to be through example. It's going to be through acceptance. I'm not saying here that we should accept immorality. I'm not saying that we should accept sin. Not at all. But we must accept it. So we don't judge the person, okay? It's the sin we don't accept, not the person. The person has just been misled, just like you and I, before we met Christ. We need to be careful that we don't become judgmental. Jesus came down to earth. Where was he found? Come on now. Where was he found? He was found with a prostitute. He was found with a publican. He was found with sinners. He was found in the pub. He was found in the eating places. But he was found. Jesus came for the lost. He said, I came for the sick, not for the healthy. And we need to do the same. Not me as well. We need to start concentrating more on spiritual famine more than physical famine. You can give a person a plate of food and they will still get hungry. But when we tell them about Jesus Christ, you know what? They want to know more and more about the man from Galilee. I know. I've told them. And he come back. Some don't. He will. I've got the confidence that he will. Because God has told me they will. We really need to concentrate on the spiritual man. We need to have a heart for spiritual poverty rather than physical distress. Let's keep telling people there's still hope. Christ is alive and still in control. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what can I say? But thank you for coming down from heaven to earth. Thank you, Father, for being my shepherd and the shepherd of all here today and those online. Please forgive us for not listening to you. Please forgive us for not always we're always trying to do things our own way, just like those sheep that have gone astray, each one to their own way. Today, Lord, we want to start to obey what your word says. I ask you for a heart of compassion for those who are spiritually destitute today, Lord, so that, Lord, your love might prevail on this earth and that people will be spiritually fed as well as physically fed. I ask this in no other name but the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.